Well, and I greet each one in Christ's name. Those songs went very well just to begin a worship service of how we, that's what it's about, to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus, the one that is worthy. A couple of those songs, you know, He alone is worthy. That's truly what it should be for everything that He has done. And even just our life, our breath, to be able to be here this morning is a gift from God. Every day that we have that, it's a gift, and we need to be thankful. Two and a half years ago, if somebody would ask me if I was here today, I probably would have said, I wouldn't think so. So it's a gift of God, not to mention eternal life that we can have in Him by faith and finished work with the cross and living obedience to His word. That's something that we definitely need to be thankful for. Devotions, Psalm 23. I know you think, well, that's, if you want to turn to that, you probably memorized it. And if you didn't, you should have. But one thing that Lester brought out last Sunday in his devotions, I guess probably most of you were here, he kind of brought it out pretty, you know, put a little emphasis on it. And he wanted to make sure we all knew it, you know, when you know, add a little bit of voice to it, you know, he wants to make sure it comes across. I don't know if you remember what he said, but he said, you know, in 100 years, we'll all be dead and gone. He might have made a little exception there. He said maybe the very smallest of the smallest babies, maybe, but not much hope there either. But that's true. I think he was right. One time he was right. I mean, but we need to think of that. So I thought, well, maybe Psalm 23, a lot of times, you know, it's used in the funerals. So maybe I thought I'd be able to look at that while I still have a chance. Okay. See, often we, like I said, often that is used in that setting, and a lot of it probably because of verse 4. I know I was told long ago, when sometimes I still notice just because somebody told me that when Psalms are divided into psalm, not chapter. So if you come up here and you say, let's turn to the Psalms, chapter so-and-so, that's incorrect, because Psalms is divided into Psalms. All the other books of the Bible divide into chapters. So leave that. A little extra information for nothing. So I struggle with that, too. I come home and I want to say chapter. What made me think a little of this... last winter, we were in Florida, and we attended a funeral there. It was a young child that, well, she was a young child, a special needs child, when we used to live there, and she passed away, and we were there over the time. I don't remember a lot of what that pastor said, but he started in, this was naturally his text, and he started in with, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then he told this little story of, if I remember, it's of a little boy in school. His class was required to memorize this 23rd Psalm, but he had a memorization disability. It was hard for him. So the day came for everyone to get up front and recite the 23rd Psalm, and he just knew he couldn't do it. He was nervous. So when his time came, he went up and he started. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need to know." You know, that boy was right. By him saying that, he said as much as if he would have recited that whole psalm. that part of it always stood out to me. I know some years you get to go to Florida, and other years you just get to think about it. So that was a blessing that we were actually there over that time. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, if the Lord truly is our shepherd, and there's a lot of lessons here, we can't get into all of that. You know, we have it all. It's really all we need. We need to know. It's all we need. Because we can go on and on. One of the main things of a shepherd, I believe, we always bring up is, you know, a shepherd doesn't go behind and push the sheep along. He goes in front, and they follow him. They know his voice. They follow. Want to maybe get into that just a little bit later. So let's go down through here quickly for a few minutes. Verse 1, I shall not want, would be alluding to that he provides for our needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Provides comfort, rest. He leads me beside the still waters. He provides for our thirst. Verse 3, he restores my soul. I like that picture. That one kind of stood out to me. You know, he's able to restore our soul. You know, we restore what? You name it. Cars, boats, tractors. Pieces of junk they're no good. They're ugly. They're useless. People restore those and make them useful and beautiful again. That's what the shepherd can do with your soul. He can restore it. He can make it useful, beautiful for the kingdom of God. Another one in verse 3, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We can be confident that he will lead us down the right path, the path of righteousness. He won't. Deceive us. Verse 4, death, talks about death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, this is another thing I remember that pastor bringing out a little bit that was maybe a little different than what I thought. I don't really remember it, but at the best I can, he thinks that, you know, for the Christian to go through death, it's just a shadow. It's a valley, but it's a shadow. It's not the real thing. Shadow cannot harm you. It may frighten us, and we're unsure of it, what's causing it. But the shadow itself has absolutely no power over us. But now for the unbeliever, that death, you know, physical death is also included with eternal death. Now, that is death to be feared. That is true death. I kind of, you know, it's just a thought, I believe, that he brought out a little bit different twist, and I appreciate it. Verse 5, our prayer is the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Always plenty. Go into different ideas on this. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, when we follow Jesus, the shepherd, he's in front of us. We follow him. And I like this picture that says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See the picture? We're between the shepherd and his goodness and his mercy. Follow up behind. That's almost what you'd call eternal security. Now don't all get up and leave, all right? But there is true security there. As the shepherd is leading us down that path of righteousness, but we have a choice. As we follow that path, follow the shepherd, there's always out to each side of that path, there's those attractions, distractions that are always trying to get you to turn your head. And once you start that, you're apt to start following those paths instead of following Jesus. But as long as we are in the following and have that come up behind, we are secure in him. And those things in 1 John 2, I believe those things that are off on the side that want to allure us and try to get us off the track of righteousness is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'd say that pretty well stems it all up. Maybe throw the old media in there too. If we start find those things and following those, we will find ourselves on a path that is not the path of righteousness. The last part of the verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We follow the shepherd, he's going to lead us home. And that's where we want to end up, home. That's the ultimate place he's leading us to. If we don't veer off to those side attractions, that's what we'll end up at. Praise God. Trying to think of a little bit, something to maybe a little add to this, what would, you know, concerning shepherd and sheep and a similarity. And I was thinking of the word come. I believe a shepherd, as he's leading his sheep, he would use that word a lot. We find it often in the Bible. Jesus says, come. And because that's what the shepherd wants of the sheep. He wants them to follow. Come, follow me. When he was choosing his disciples, what did he say? Drop what you're doing. Come, follow me. Come. In Isaiah, those beautiful words, come to the waters. Come unto me, here and your soul shall live. There in Isaiah, I believe. Somewhere it says, come ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those invitations to come follow him. When Peter walked on the water, Jesus told him to come, and he stepped out and came. And of course, as long as he kept his eyes where he should have, he was fine. But again, when he started looking out the side, and it didn't go that good. So the sort of the opposite of come is depart, or, you know, leave. I want to use the word depart, and there's a few verses that bring that out, just to bring out the opposite of coming. And then if we depart from that path, we're taking that detour and departing from that. And that is, it's not good. It's not where we want to end up at. There's one in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Pretty rank language. And unbelief. In Hebrews, talks about Hebrews letting that, talks about unbelief getting in our heart and then departing from the living God. There's things always there trying to distract us and get us to veer off from the straight and narrow road that the shepherd is going to take us home. Saying all that, I want to turn yet closing to Matthew, which kind of ties us together with that wording. In Matthew 25. Read a couple verses the end days. 31, maybe when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, what's he going to tell them? I think you know, but it's come. It's that word we were talking about. And what a beautiful word that is. What a beautiful word that will be. Now let's jump ahead to verse 41. To the other side, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart. So the challenge was to me as I thought of that, and I said, wow, you know, what a beautiful word come, but he's going to use those very same words when we stand before him. God of gods, the judge, it's God. We don't understand it, but he's going to be there, and we have to stand before him and hear either one word or the other. I cannot imagine, you know, how devastating and that will be to hear that word depart. It's like, just get out of my presence. This is it. Instead of come and enjoy what I have prepared for you. So the bottom line is, if we heed the word come now, we will heed that word then. We will hear that word then. If we practice the word depart, we're going to hear that word at the day of judgment. It's a challenge too. Let's follow the shepherd. Let's not get distracted with those things that are on the side. And he will lead us home. We can be confident of that. Let's pray.